The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says one out of every 31 children is autistic. As law enforcers find themselves interacting more with people on the spectrum, the Tallahassee Police Department has launched an initiative in an effort to create better outcomes in those situations. The initiative includes additional officer training and free vehicle decals. We hear from the launch of TPD's Approach with Care Autism Awareness Initiative from Ju Ming Delmas, founder of Infinite Spectrum Foundation, whose son has autism, and Catherine Zanko, director of the FSU Center for Autism and Related Disabilities.
Autism seems like it's becoming more common, whether it's occurring more or just being diagnosed more because of better diagnostic tools. But also, this is a range. It's a spectrum. And there can be similarities, but the differences among people diagnosed with autism are vast.
We know that every interaction is unique. Our responsibility is to meet people where they are, communicate effectively, and do everything we can to ensure every encounter is as safe as possible.
Tallahassee Police Chief Lawrence Revel says officers need the right tools for handling cases involving people on the spectrum.
While a decal cannot tell an officer everything that they need to know, it can provide valuable information in these critical first moments of an interaction.
So the department has launched the Approach with Care Autism Awareness Initiative, thanks in large part to TPD Deputy Chief Jeff Mahoney.
About 8 months ago, I met Sean Strickland, who's one of my partners. He's the owner of Midtown Print, at a local park. I was swinging my son, he was swinging his son, and we quickly started the conversation, and we both realized that we were dealing with the same thing. Both of our sons are nonverbal and have autism. And we talked about the great things that we've done with our sons, and also the difficulties that we've had in dealing with our sons and raising children with autism. You don't know until you actually do it, and it's very difficult, but there's so many great milestones that they hit that mean so much to us. When I presented this initiative to Chief Revel, it was a yes right away, and I appreciate that. He said, go with it, run with it, and do what you gotta do to make it happen.
Now, Mahoney helped make this happen after his chance meeting at the park playground with Sean Strickland. Both spoke at TPD's announcement of the initiative.
Yeah, little did I think that Saturday or Sunday morning, whatever it was, when we were chatting on the playground, it would lead to something like this. Well done. Really, really well done. And thank you, Chief.
Absolutely.
And these are A-plus partners. Like, mm-hmm. These are the best in the business. It's amazing. As the parent of a child with autism, I spent a lot of my life trying to understand how my son sees the world. It's different from how I see it, and it's wonderful. But my son can't always show what he's feeling the way other people do. In a tense moment, that could be understood, misunderstood, and that's the thing that scares parents like me. So what you're doing here matters more than what you think. When an officer takes the time to understand how an autistic person experiences the world, that understanding keeps people safe. It can change how a moment ends. To our police department and to every first responder here, thank you for choosing to learn. My son and so many people like him are safer because of this.
This initiative includes additional officer training and free vehicle decals. Those decals will alert first responders that someone inside the car may be on the autism spectrum.
I already got them. I got three for all three of my vehicles.
Tallahassee resident Ju Ming Delmas has a son with autism, which inspired him to create the Infinite Spectrum Foundation. It's designed to empower those on the spectrum through podcasting and digital storytelling and workforce development programs.
I think it's important that law enforcement officers, because they're so, you know, they have to be so alert on things to also be able to identify those signs. And I think that these decals were brilliant Because I was curious as far as like, how are we going to do this for our future for our law enforcement and say, hey, look, my son's on the spectrum. Hey, you're pulling somebody over on the spectrum. You guys need to know what that looks like. So I think that it reduces my anxiety from 100 to at least 60. I
Wow.
still have a level of anxiety toward it because anything still could happen in that interaction, but at least the cops are made aware of it. You know what I mean? I think the most important thing is just being able to identify, like, there's a difference between somebody who's who's been drinking or who's on some drugs, and then people who are on the spectrum. Like, there's obviously clear, there may be some flapping or there may be some overstimming, some screaming, or whatever the case is. I think that they need to understand the difference between a person on the spectrum and a person who's probably using substance abuse to some degree. And they're two vastly different things. And if you pay attention to both behaviors, we don't have to get into the psychology of it, you would see very clearly that there's something going on with this individual mentally, and then there's something going on with another individual from something that they've taken.
Delmas says the additional officer training component is crucial as more people are being diagnosed.
How do they learn to de-escalate situations? I still think police officers have a major problem with de-escalating situations. And sometimes they'll take a situation to where it doesn't need to go. And for a person on the spectrum, they won't know that. But if you're learning to de-escalate situations, because these are as us as parents who have children on the autism or cousins or whoever on the autism, when they're stimming, we're de-escalating the situation as parents. As family members, we de-escalate it because for them, calmness says, hey, it's okay. We're good. We're good. Because they don't know that it's not okay. And I think that officers are going to really need to hone in on understanding the behavior of people on the spectrum and also understanding to truly de-escalate situations. The autism community is growing, it's growing rapidly. And we need to start thinking, 20 years from now, we're going to have a world full of people on the spectrum. And we need to now start thinking what that's going to look like because it's not going to be the same 20 years from now. And we need to be prepared for that.
Helping prepare law enforcement and people on the spectrum is the FSU Center for Autism and Related Disabilities, known as FSU CARD. By the way, we have a list of partner agencies that have the free decals at WFSU.org. So, Director Catherine Zenko just had her 10th anniversary at FSU CARD. We sat down to discuss the TPD initiative and more about the autism spectrum.
The mission of FSU CARD is to provide individuals with autism and related disabilities and their families and the professionals who work with them free consultation. We also do trainings. We provide resources, educational support to make the community more autism friendly and to get the best possible outcomes for our individuals on the spectrum.
And when we're talking about the spectrum, that's a wide range.
Absolutely.
So if someone lives in Tallahassee, they just got their own diagnosis of being on the spectrum or their child, they could call you guys for resources.
Absolutely. And that's really what we hope people will do. So our website is very easy to remember, which is just fsucard.com. Right on the very first part of our website, there's a button that says Become a Client, and you can fill everything out online, and someone will reach out to you. Also, what's exciting, we serve the lifespan. We don't stop at age 22, which a lot of services do. When we were put in statute over 35 years ago, they were very specific that they want these regional autism centers to cover the entire lifespan of citizens in Florida. So we're over 7,000 people who are registered in 18 counties. So the FSU card is one of the seven card centers in the state of Florida, and we have the 18 counties in that Big Bend Panhandle area. We really pride ourselves in being that agency where you can go to when you need support throughout your journey.
Do you find that more adults are being diagnosed?
We do, actually. Autism is such a broad spectrum. the definition has evolved over the years. It casts a very wide net. And so we are seeing adults later on who may have previously had a diagnosis of maybe ADHD growing up or something, but it just didn't quite fit everything, and especially females. Mm. So currently the statistics are around 1 to 4, one female to every 4 male with a diagnosis of autism. And oftentimes the females are diagnosed later. And I would probably say, now without having the data right in front of me, it is my largest, fastest growing population on my census is mm-hmm. this older group.
And so in this case, I'm just curious, because it sounds like these would be high functioning individuals. Maybe they, like you said, had this ADHD diagnosis at some point, and it turns out they're actually on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. This is probably going to simplify it, but like, is this a wiring thing? What can you tell us about that?
Yeah. There's lots of research out there that will show the brains are wired differently. They perceive things differently. Different parts of the brain react differently than somebody without a diagnosis of autism. So one example that I'm thinking of specifically is the study that was measuring the reaction to change. Like when presented with a situation, a small change versus a large change, those who are not diagnosed on the spectrum had different intensities of reaction. The individuals on the spectrum had the same intensity of reaction regardless of the perceived magnitude of the change, if you will. It's one of the things we often use in our trainings just to show that, you know, individuals on the spectrum, one of the characteristics you will hear a lot is, you know, they like things the same and they have trouble shifting or very rigid and they need things the same. Well, their brain is wired that way. The brain is wired to respond pretty extremely, if you will. I don't know if I really like that word, but they're just not wired to go with the flow. How about that?
Okay.
And so knowing that is very important, especially in any type of teaching situation or job situation. Life changes all the time unexpectedly. And so making sure that we are building in ways to teach, what do I do when something changes? And teaching the people around them how to prepare somebody for a change without just springing it on them and expecting them to just go, oh, okay, cool, let's go.
Yeah, okay, thank you. That is interesting to me. So TPD has rolled out this initiative, and part of it involves the free decals on the cars alerting law enforcement, but also part of it involves more officer training, correct?
Correct.
Why do you think an initiative like this is needed?
Well, one quick Google search of the news of autism and law enforcement will give you that answer. So there have been stories that we've seen in the news that are more extreme. But if they don't know that the person has autism, watching the way that they are acting, reacting, could be misinterpreted as harmful, as aggressive, as something that justifies a use of force, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so knowing that this person might be acting differently because they have autism is really important. People on the autism spectrum don't look any different physically. So there are no obvious markers when you look at somebody that lets you know that they have autism. They may think and perceive things differently. And so that puts the officers at an immediate disadvantage, because if they don't know that, then they don't automatically know why this person might be rocking back and forth furiously or flapping or having kind of a big reaction. And so with the stickers, it allows the law enforcement officers to know ahead of time walking up to this vehicle, oh, I might see somebody who has autism who may not be able to respond to my questions right away. Communication abilities are also very broad in autism. You have individuals who are non-speaking, who are not able to use words to communicate, who may use a phone or something, pictures to communicate, all the way up to people who are very verbal. But if you don't know that going up and you are a law enforcement officer and you're expecting an answer and they don't answer you, that can be misinterpreted as noncompliance or something else. So I think it gives the officer a heads up what to expect. I do want to say this decal does not mean if you have a decal on your car, you're not getting pulled over. I think that was one very dangerous misconception. That's yeah. not the case. And that's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is just to let everybody know the interaction may go different than you expected.
Yeah. You know, it seems to me that with so many people now having autism, and I don't know the exact numbers.
I do. If you want to know that.
Let's hear it. Yeah.
Yeah. So the latest statistics that came out from the Center for Disease Control is 1 in 31 children. And they're looking at school records. So any child, it's looking at really children 8 years old. So 1 in 31 children have a diagnosis on the autism spectrum.
And so maybe law enforcement in general, as far as training, maybe they just need to always be trained because there won't always be a decal. I mean, anyone they interact with could have autism.
Correct. And that's a great point. I'm really glad you brought that up because we really have in the past, I don't know, 5 years seen a very large push for training for law enforcement on autism recognition and response. We are a big part of that. We've been doing that for a long time, even before the laws were mandated. FSU CARD is definitely on the agenda for the training for any new officers coming in. The officers all have to do autism training that Florida Department of Law Enforcement, FDLE, has put together. There is also an optional 8-hour autism course that officers can take. And one of the newest things they were sharing with me about, they have some new virtual reality media to do some training, right, for lots of different things. But one of the options in this virtual training is having an interaction with somebody on the autism spectrum. Mm-hmm. And so they can go in and interact in a virtual reality situation with somebody on the autism spectrum. Then they can do it where it flips, and then they are the person on the autism spectrum. So they get to see this interaction from the perspective of somebody on the spectrum. So it's very new. They all have to do de-escalation training. And so we are really kind of solidifying how this entire approach with care initiative is going to roll out. And you're right, it's more than a sticker. Another thing we talked about in our meeting was adding sensory bags for every officer. There was a story just this week in the news. It was posted on, I believe it's the Santa Fe Police Department's website, where there was a traffic stop with an adolescent with autism and his mom, and he was very agitated and very worked up, and they were trying to help de-escalate. And the mom is so worried, going, don't hurt him, don't hurt him. They're like, man, we're not going to hurt him. But he was getting, you know, very agitated, kind of reaching out, somewhat aggressive, and they shared this from the body cam, and this female officer said, does somebody have a sensory bag? And they, yeah, here. And they threw it to her. And it just had lots of different items and fidgets and different interesting things. And the officer was masterful, and it caught it all on how to de-escalate. It was just a masterclass in going in with something slow, low voice, hey, look at this, just kind of the art of distraction to try and get them out of that loop of being very upset. And it was really, really well done. So it brought up this discussion. They even said, you know, we want to do more than a sticker. Like, and that hopefully is a big push we're going to start doing, is looking for community partners to be able to help us put together 500 of these. It will also include a communication board, which that's what we will be helping provide and print and do for those individuals who are non-speaking or who may be speaking but can't access their words in this high-stress situation. And then training, that's where we will also come into training when we have all the kits assembled too on how to use it. Because you can't just give somebody a bag of stuff in it and expect them to know what to do with it.
So we talked about how law enforcers might misinterpret what's happening with the person in the car, for example, and we know that there have been bad outcomes. What should we know about people on the spectrum and how they, this is probably complicated, but how they might misinterpret or misread what's happening?
Oh, that's a great question. So let's think about this. Absolutely. So we actually were just asked by Leon County EMS to be a part of their monthly training. They had two dates in June and two dates in July. So all of their EMTs came through training. So we got to do an hour of that. And so in preparing for that, somebody did this really great video of a person on the spectrum. The video was from their point of view, POV from the person with autism, right? One of the things of autism is they often perceive sensory stimuli differently than we do, either heightened or not as much. Think about a situation, either law enforcement or EMT coming to a scene. What do you see? lights, what do you hear, really loud sirens, all of these things. And so if you're already at a state and this is something that comes in, it can be really disturbing.
Yeah.
Right? It's loud. And then people are rushing in, right? Because it's an emergency, right? And they're coming at you fast. Mm-hmm. And that can feel threatening. And if you can't communicate and people just keep asking you the same question, maybe louder because they think you didn't hear it, you just kind of get this sense of overwhelm. So another thing that can be misinterpreted, or if they don't have a way to communicate effectively, especially in a stressful situation, when a law enforcement officer asks you a question or tells you to stop, right? But if you're feeling threatened, you run, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're in a fight or flight state. And so now it looks like you're resisting arrest, right? And you're running away. And so there are all of these factors that unfortunately contribute to the stories that we end up seeing on the news.
Yeah.
You know, that is also a really neat thing about FSU CARD is because we're also the ones, we're not only interacting with the first responders. I get to interact with the people themselves who are on the spectrum. And so we do, we talk about that. We also try and put together some supports and information that the people on the spectrum, depending on where they are, can understand of what to do in the event that you're approached by a police officer. You know, what not to do. If you communicate using your phone and it's in your back pocket, we need to say, don't reach for that yet. You need to say to the officer or have something in your vehicle or wherever you are to hand them to say, I need to get my phone to communicate. Can I get it? Mm-hmm. Because when I'm thinking of these situations, I do kind of like to do a 360-degree perspective check. Mm-hmm. The law enforcement officer, what do they need to know? But what do I need to talk to my individuals on the spectrum about too? What they may think is harmless because I need to grab my thing to communicate might look like you're reaching for something that's unsafe.
Yeah.
And so it really is this complete effort of doing some education with our law enforcement and first responders, but also with our families and individuals.
Yeah. This is a sidebar question,
sure.
But this is also in the news. We know that children with autism who wander off can be drawn to bodies of water. It could be the neighbor's pool. It could be the lake at the end of the street. And we know that that has led to deaths. What do we know about this pattern and why that happens?
Well, it's a great question in the fact that it is in the news and it is a huge issue. It's very sad. But the number one cause of death in children on the spectrum is drowning. Oftentimes, they like the sensory aspect of the water. Couple that with they may not have that sense of danger awareness. Right? And so if they are singularly drawn, like that's one of the things that is a characteristic of autism is this kind of singular or hyper-focus on something that they're very interested in, that's the driving force is, oh, I hear a stream, I need to go check it out because I really love water. And they are just like their focuses get to the water and may not know to look up and look around. And I can't just cross the street to get to the water because there might be cars coming. Or the current might be too strong and it's really cool to look at, but they don't necessarily understand that, you know, if I can't swim really well, or even if you can, if you get into a body of water that has a lot of current. The good news about this is it's getting a lot of attention. And it's getting a lot of attention also in our legislature, which is fantastic. There is funding now for swim lessons. There are pool alarms. The pool alarms are one thing to alert when if somebody unexpectedly gets into the water. But I really like the two-prong approach of we don't just need the alarms, we need the swimming lessons. Another thing that started July 1 is a new spectrum alert. It's much like an Amber Alert. This is the same concept with the new spectrum alert that when a child or an adult goes missing, it can activate the same type of response because of what we know, that time is of the essence. Water is usually a huge factor in where we want to make sure that we're looking. And also this lack of danger awareness. You also may have somebody on the spectrum who really loves trains. Right.
Yeah.
And so now you're going to go to so these are the things we need to know. So when they call in the alert, they're going to ask these questions. Do they like water? Are there any bodies of water close to you? What else are they really drawn to? So they know where to go.
Yeah.
So I think Florida has really put quite a commitment to our citizens here with autism. And we're really proud to be a part of the solutions.
Yeah. Good. just wrapping this up, is there anything else you think we should know about this TPD Autism Awareness Initiative, the decals, and the work that you guys do at FSU CARD?
Yeah, I think so. We are, the FSU CARD Center is one of the distribution points for the stickers. This is only the beginning. They're very motivated. They'd love to see something like this go statewide. The initial print was 1,000 stickers, and I have a feeling we're going to need a reprint soon. Yeah. So big thank you to Midtown Print. I also would just really want to remind people about CARD services. Although we've been in statute for over 35 years, there are still people who don't know about us. Florida has been way ahead of the curve 35 years ago, saying we need regional autism centers. There weren't 7 to start, but now there are 7. So every county has a CARD center in their region. All of the services that we provide throughout the lifespan, not only to the individuals and their families, but the schools, agencies, businesses, faith-based centers, are free. We can do training. I know we're partnering with our colleagues over at Leon County Sheriff's Department for their big back-to-school event, but we want to get ourselves out there so that families and individuals know they can register and benefit from our services. We don't do any direct service. We are more your resource and consultation, and we can help you find the people who can provide those direct services. But we also want to be there for everybody throughout the whole course of their journey.
Catherine Zanko, Director of the FSU Center for Autism and Related Disabilities, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.